Hello guys, this is Shaladio coming to you once again on another episode of Random Gist. The title of today's Random Gist is Why Do I Generalize? Why do I generalize? I'll tell you what led to the selection of today's title. Why do I generalize? I sent out a bunch of tweets which, well, they've been in circulation for a while, but they became emphasized over the last few days as a reaction to one or two alleged or reported incidences of people leaking nude pictures of other people who they were in conflict with or had jilted them or whatever happened between them. And I got a retweet, or more like someone with quite a huge followership retweeted one of those tweets this morning, and I got a plethora of reactions from various people that I'd actually never met before online. Now, there was this particularly interesting one. Now, what had happened was that he issued this reaction as a sub, and it's something, is a thought that had actually been I was actually going to encapsulate it, or more like articulate it in a broadcast like this, but I didn't just get around it. So what then happened was that the reaction was issued in form of a sub by this lady or gentleman, I don't know what gender the person is, and the reaction was that that though Shaladio might be doing a good job, but he needs to stop these generalizations and inferences. And that was when it dawned on me that, oh, I think I'm actually overdue in explaining the reasons why a lot of these tweets appear to come out as generalized, and why I would still continue to issue such generalized statements. And that's the purpose of this broadcast, to explain that. Now, it came in form of a sub, so, and we just had a laugh over it, but the guy didn't, or whoever behind that handled it, particularly find it funny. But you know, we had fun and we just had a laugh about it, really. But on a more serious note, the question actually needs to be answered, because I will still continue to generalize, and I'm going to explain the reason why I would still continue to generalize in those kind of tweets. Okay, now, in explaining this, I mean, it's not like I'm gonna be throwing scriptures at you or anything. I mean, this is just my own opinion, my own viewpoint of life, and it is not binding on anyone. Twitter is a place where you can come and tweet anything you like, whether it makes sense or it doesn't make sense. So, but this is my opinion, and I would explain the basis of my opinion on this in using a few examples over the next 10 to 15 minutes. Now, let us look at the issue of terrorism. Now, on September 11, 2001, our lives changed radically. Now, you want to ask me, how did my life change radically? It changed radically because even though I was not in New York, even though I was not in any of those twin towers, even though I was not in any of those aircraft that bombed into those twin towers, my life changed drastically. And I'll explain how my life changed. Before then, we were allowed to use metal cutlery. Do you understand? We could use metal cutlery on the aircraft to have our lunch, to have our dinner. Now, it was reported that on one of those aircraft, the guys did not even come on board with a gun or a knife. when it was time to hijack the plane, they only needed to use the metal cutlery that were being used by every normal person to have dinner and lunch, to stab people and to take control of the aircraft. So what did the airlines do? Generalization. Now that's dangerous, because if you're coming on with a gun, we probably can scan you and find you out before you get on the aircraft. But if you are coming in without a gun, without a weapon, but with an intention to hijack the aircraft, that becomes difficult for us to detect, for us to know that you have such an intention. I mean, the TSA people, the immigrations people, they are not filled with the Holy Ghost. They don't have the gift of discerning of spirits. So they don't know who is a terrorist and who is not a terrorist. So they have to generalize by putting in a new rule that nobody is allowed to use metal cutlery to have his dinner on the aircraft. It's as simple as that. So what do you call that now? We call it generalization. We are generalizing everybody on the aircraft that they are potentially terrorists. So in order to make the aircraft safe for all of us, we are making that assumption that anyone with metal cutlery on the aircraft potentially can hijack the aircraft. So didn't we just generalize now? Oh, we did. Seriously, and that is the way life is. Is it unfair? I think it is, because on the first two occasions when I tried to use the plastic cutlery, they broke, and I almost screamed that, please, can you give me some metal cutlery to deal with this meat? But lo and behold, you can't use metal cutlery. Why? Because of September 11, 2001. So it is part of life that we have to generalize. Let me give you another example, another 9/11 example. How did my life change? My life changed because now to get on the aircraft, I have to put my shoes off and walk through a plethora of scanners, where the people operating the scanners can now even see the exact outlines of my private parts. Do you understand? So my life changed though. It did. Seriously. So I have to take my shoes off before I get, take my belt off in public before I get on an aircraft. I am not a terrorist. So it is generalization to insist that I put my shoes off to be scanned and put my belt off to be scanned before I get on an aircraft. In fact, let me tell you something. On a few occasions, I've, you know, been involved in some confrontation with officials at the airport because I thought they were going a bit too far. I mean, literally one of them was doing a body search and the guy was actually pressing my penis down. You understand? I was beginning to think this guy must be gay or something. Why is he doing that? What bomb is he looking for in my pants that is pressing my penis? Do you understand what I'm talking about? So I was very angry about that experience. You understand? But then, see generalization again. They have to search all of us before we get on the aircraft. Now, what happened? When the first, the 9/11 thing was done, it was localized to a particular religion and a particular kind of people who looked in a kind of way. So, even when we get on the aircraft, there appeared to be enhanced scrutiny of those people who belonged to that religion and belonged to that race. Do you understand? Now, a lot of them who are innocent did not like it at all. It was very intrusive, and to be honest, even some of the questions were very offensive. Now, while that was going on, guess what happened? A Nigerian dropped into the mix. Now, how did he do his own? He kept his own bomb inside the pants. So from that point onwards, he now thought, okay, now it is not only these other people that did 9/11 that will be going to be checking on their race. Now we're going to be checking on Nigerians as well. So any airport you go as a Nigerian, they want to be sure that you're not hiding a bomb in your pants. Do you understand? Now, is it their fault? Generalization again. So they are working on an assumption that when you are coming as a Nigerian, you potentially could be a terrorist. So you're going to be well searched. You understand? Now, what happened again? There's another guy called, is it John Reed or what's that guy's name again? Now, this is a mixed race guy. We call them half caste in Nigeria. You know, one parent is black, the other parent is white. This guy was a Muslim. He got on an aircraft and he had a bomb, some sort of firecrackers or whatever, in his shoes, designed to bring the aircraft down. Do you understand? So again, we have to keep our eyes on those sort of people again. So at the end of the day, rather than now say you pick out the Nigerians, pick out the Arabs, pick out the outcast, we now work on the assumption that everybody is potentially a terrorist. So we search your shoes, search your belt, scan your pants, and make sure everything is clean before everybody gets on that aircraft. What do you call that again? Generalization. Now, it is offensive, especially to the Americans, because the Americans really complained the way TSA was searching their pants and, you know, pressing their body parts and everything. Until one day, you see, if each time, you know, well, I always went to Lagos, you know, the aircraft is, except for the Mediterranean Sea, you know, the aircraft is going to fly over land. So even if the aircraft has problem, it can land in Niger, it can land in Chad, it can land in Algeria, it can land in Libya, you know, any of those places if it has a problem. But guess what? There was this flight. We were going to go to the States, and we're told that this flight was going to be 10 solid hours from Paris to Atlanta, because we're going to be flying against whatever, what I think they call the tide or so, that was going to be quicker on our way back, but on our way there it was going to be longer. So we're going to be on in the air for close to 10 hours. Now this is the issue. When we got to the airport, they were, you know, I didn't step in early enough, so I just sort of, we're just a bit laid back, you know, we let most people get in. And then when I got there, the guy said, do you suffer from any medical illness or whatever? I said, no. He said, the reason I'm asking is that you have been specially selected by the Americans for an enhanced and intrusive body search. And so I thought I should let you know. So the first question, the guy, he looked at my passport. He saw that I was British. He knew I was a black person. The first question he asked me, he said, do you have a knife or a gun on you? And I thought, this guy must be silly. Now, why is he silly? I have gone through several scanners to get to that point. How wouldn't they have found the gun or the knife for me to get to that? I had gone through scanning in London. I had gone through scanning when we got down in Paris. Now I was going through a second scanning in Paris again, and he's asking me if I have a knife on my person. Don't you think the guy is stupid? I really thought he was stupid, but I concealed my indignation. Now the issue was this. So I put on a fake smile so we can get through this quickly. But then I now beckoned to my wife and child and said, and Ianu, and I said, okay, if you guys want to do an enhanced search, I would want my family to witness the search, you know. I just really wanted to embarrass the guy. So if you want to strip me to my pants, I would like my wife to be there and my kid, so they can see the rubbish you're doing. Then the guy looked at me. I mean, I was ready for the search. I wasn't going to obstruct him. And then the guy looked at me. He said, are these people traveling with you? Are they your family? I said, yes. And the guy said, I won't bother to do this search, that you can go. Now, at that point, I became scared. And this is why I became scared. We are going to go on a 10-hour flight. Almost 8 hours of that flight will be on solid Atlantic Ocean water. And my fear was this, that could there be any other person on this flight carrying something to down this plane who has been allowed to get on the flight the same way I was allowed to get on that flight? That was my nagging thought. But it was difficult for me to just, I didn't have anything to down the plane, so I wouldn't have insisted that the guy should search me to the pants to be sure that I wasn't taking anything on board. But the truth of the matter was that I was very concerned that I hope none of this sort of concession has not been granted to anyone else. I hope everyone that was going to get on the aircraft was treated as though they were a terrorist and then properly searched with that mentality before they get on that aircraft. Because boy, there's no hiding place. Once that pilot sticks that thing up into the air, 8 hours on water, that plane had better walk and get to its destination fast. You understand? Not on that water where they can't find anybody. Do you understand? So, generalization, were they wrong or were they right? I leave that to you. Seriously. Let's come further home now. In UK, we have this issue of men that abuse children, that sort of a thing. Even in Nigeria, it's happening now. I'm sure it used to happen in Nigeria, but wasn't publicized. So it was believed that it only happened in the West. But now with social media, it's all coming out now. And it's happening in Nigeria. It's happening in UK. So don't shift it to anybody. But the issue is this. Now, when you are training your child, how do you tell your child who is a pedophile and who is not a pedophile? How do you arrive at that logic of distinguishing between one who is going to attack your child or is going to molest your child sexually and one who is not? Does your child have discerning of spirits to know how to detect whether this one is a pedophile or not, whether this uncle is a randy guy or not? Does she have that technology inside her head to detect? No, she doesn't. So what do you do? You have to generalize. How do you generalize? You say, child, don't let any uncle put you on his laps and be playing with your legs. Do you understand? You're going to tell your child that. Huh? Any uncle. Now, it doesn't matter whether the uncle is right or wrong. Any uncle. Don't allow 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is that not generalization? Seriously, is that not generalization? So you will now leave it to the discretion of your daughter to decide whether this uncle is okay or that uncle is not okay. Ha, you are in trouble, man. You have to generalize. You understand? We generalize and say, look, no uncle can touch this place, no matter what name they call him. Do you understand? You see generalization again? Let's move on again to another example. Now, on social media, there were cases where, guys who began to date, some girls will invite them around, say, oh, I've got this iPad for you, come and collect it, and they get raped. You understand? So essentially what is happening is that what these guys will do is that they will lure you into a private situation, a place that is secluded and a place that is private. And you see, except you are in Egypt during the Arab Spring, where an American reporter was raped on the street, every rapist requires seclusion, darkness and privacy. So if privacy is not created, a rapist hardly can operate. So what a rapist will do is to create privacy and lure you into privacy and then spring up on you. So if you meet a guy and you just start dating and he's trying to talk you into privacy, there are two things. One, he either wants to rape you or he wants to persuade you into consensual sex. what is there to discuss that cannot be discussed in a restaurant, that cannot be discussed in the living room of your house with your parents there and your siblings? Do you understand? Why must it be inside his room when nobody else is at home that you guys can find full verbal expression? So any guy, so if you look at it that way, there is a possibility that I'm the only one in the room and I ask you to come so we can have a discussion. You understand? And then that possibility also exists that I didn't touch you, I didn't rape you, I didn't persuade you into consensual sex. You understand? But now, did they write it on my head that I will not rape you? Did they write it on my head that I will not persuade you into consensual sex? No. How do you tell the difference between the one who will rape you when you are in privacy and the one who will not rape you when you are in privacy? So we resort again to what? Generalization. So what's the generalization here? If anybody is trying to get you into privacy, there is a possibility that he wants to rape you or persuade you into consensual sex. So what do? You forbid privacy with a man. It's as simple as that. So that's the way you play the game. So your rule, general rule, as a person, once it forbids privacy, that no matter who the person is, whether he's a church person or a mosque person or a Hindu person, it doesn't matter. You invite me to privacy, I just decline. I say, I'm sorry, no. Whatever I want to discuss, can we discuss it in a restaurant? Your possibility of being raped reduces by over 60%. Now, all the anti-rape people, rape is rape. No means no. Rape is rape. No means no. Go and say that to the area boy in Lagos. The area boy in Lagos is not on Twitter and is not understanding all this no is no business that you're talking about. If no is no is all you are saying, and you are saying no is no to lunatics, then it's a losing battle. You also need to educate the women that, look, there is a way that, look, if you educate the women about the mindset of a rapist, which is that, look, a rapist will most times seek privacy before he springs on you, then mathematically you are cutting out the chances of a woman being raped by 60%. Isn't that a lovely, if you can cut out the possibility of evil by 60% just by one action, isn't it worth it? So that is why we generalize. Did you see that again? So, but in conclusion, I want to say this. Generalization is usually done in a situation where there is danger and we want to create safety. So we want to create safety for our children, we generalize and say, don't let any uncle touch your laps. We want to create safety for our girls and women, we generalize and say, don't let anybody invite you to privacy under the guise of dating you or being your boyfriend. Do you understand? Even the ones that you know, some women now go say, the pastor, I slept with the pastor, I had sex with the pastor, I had sex with the leader. They didn't have sex in public, they had sex in private. When he invited you to privacy, you could have declined and say no. But because you are not trained with the things I'm telling you now, you didn't have the ability to say no. If the counseling that pastor wants to give you can only be done in privacy, something is wrong. Do you understand? This is what I'm going to tell my own daughter. I'm going to train my own daughter. No privacy. Any pastor that cannot counsel you in an office that has glass walls where people can see both of you from outside has no proper counsel from you, something is wrong for you. Something is wrong. Do you understand? So we want to create a safety from rapists by educating women that if you create a general rule of privacy, of as in forbidding privacy with you and a person or with you and the opposite sex, then you reduce your chances of being raped by an acquaintance by over 60%. Do you understand? So if I can reduce evil by over 60% just by taking one action, I think it is worth the effort. So that is why we generalize. Now let's go to nudes. Now the issue is this. What's the big deal about nudes? a guy meets you because you want to marry him, because you are so desperate, because your life hinges on marrying, then the guy can just ask anything from you. If he says you should crawl on stone, you will crawl on stone. If he says you should send all your naked pictures, you will send your naked pictures. Habba, habba. I mean, must you be turned into an animal just because you want to marry? This is less than dignifying. It robs you of dignity to take a naked picture of yourself and send to a boy, all because you want to impress him. A boy who has not even put a ring on your finger. I mean, I speak this to your shame. Seriously, if you send news to men, I speak this to your shame. Now, the issue is this. Anybody who says that the guys are stupid for leaking the news, I always look at them that you are daft. And this is the reason why you are daft. Trusting a pig with your white suit that it won't get muddy. I mean, giving a nude to a guy asking for it is like trusting a pig with your white suit, hoping that it won't get muddy. I mean, whoever does that, if you are smart enough not to give your white suit to a pig, so why should it be something difficult for you to understand that sending a nude to a man is like killing yourself? Come on. So if you send a nude to a man, it already shows that you are inept. And because you are inept, you reveal it by wondering why the guy leaked the nude. For goodness sake, no dignifying man should be asking for nudes. Now, someone is now saying to me that not all men leak nudes. Some keep them, some don't keep them, some leak them. Now, I think that is stupidity. If you want to reduce the chances to zero of your leaks being nude, you need to generalize again that everybody who asks for nudes is a jerk. Do you understand? That every boy asking you for nudes is a jerk. Once you generalize that way, what it means is that your nudes will never end up in anybody's phone or iPad. Do you understand? So that is what I'm going to tell you now. We generalize for safety reasons. So I will still hold on to my views and opinions on generalization. If you don't send news out, nobody can hurt you. So I generalize. Any boy asking you for your nudes is an idiot. If you give your nudes to an idiot, you are on the same mental capacity level with an idiot. And if he leaks the nudes and you are wondering why he is not loyal, you are exposing your idiocy. Do you understand? I'm as blunt and as brutal as that. If you leak your nudes, I have a very dim opinion of you. Seriously, you need a revamp of self-esteem. It is just absolutely wrong for anyone to give nudes out to anyone, and it is also absolutely idiotic for anyone to ask anyone for nudes. Seriously. So I'll stop there. My generalization continues. That's why I generalize, and I make no apologies for it. Thank you very much. Bye.